Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about caring for aging loved ones on the show today. And before we get to that, I want to remind you that we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions. And it's your gift, any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener support, it's the largest source of funding for our WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important. And I'm joined by Jennifer Dargan with me. She used to be my boss, kind of moved up in the world. Now she's deputy director of the Educational Communications Board. Jennifer, welcome. How are we doing on this drive?
Hey, Larry, it's so good to be back here with you. And we have some really exciting news right now. We have a dollar for dollar match going on for this hour. And boy, do we love those. And this is up to $4,000. And this generous match is from current members, including a member in Two Rivers. And it means that they're going to match every dollar that you give.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio so you can double your support right now for the program you love. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Right. Give now because you are really powerful. People who listen, you provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs like the Larry Mueller Show that deliver the best value right to you every day.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. So I hope you'll give right now at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
And Larry, I think you agree with me that we really cannot say thank you enough to our listeners. Thank you for spending your time with us. And whether you found us by scanning around the dial and just kind of bumping into the signal, or maybe a friend told you about the great shows, you're still tuned in because you like what you hear.
And because you like what you hear, I hope you can help pay for your WPR listening. You choose the amount. Maybe it's $100. Maybe it's $10 a month. Whatever amount is right for you is a great starting point. So become our next donor at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You could win an extra $250 to spend at the grocery store when you make a gift of any amount for the WPR programs you rely on. Stock up on the healthy food you know you should eat more of, or splurge on your favorite snacks. Five winners will receive a gift card for their local grocery store. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. No contribution is necessary. Find all the details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter, so make your gift now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. Your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And we make it really easy for you to make a donation. It just takes a few minutes, I promise, of your time and a gift of any amount, say maybe $10 a month.
Yeah, and that donation will come back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
And don't forget that dollar for dollar match is still in effect. There's still room for you to get your gift matched. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR is going to go twice as far.
And we have an added bonus for supporting the programs you love. Your donation enters you in a drawing for a $250 grocery gift card. In fact, you'll have five chances to win, no contribution necessary. You can see WPR.org/drawing for those details. But better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or at 888 202-2552. And sustainers, of course, those making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
And if you want to be automatically entered in all of our upcoming drawings, too, you could become a sustainer right now. It's really easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. And you do it at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's a really nice way to provide ongoing support for the programs that you love.
Elizabeth in Cross Plains says, I listen to WPR every day, a habit formed when I was a kid and my parents listened to it. The voices and names have become so familiar, they're like old friends. That's kind of nice.
We hear that a lot. People become friends with their radio hosts. Your gift is so powerful. It makes a huge difference. You can make it right now and get your gift doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much. We're going to switch into our program now and talk a bit about caring for aging loved ones on the show. Amy O'Rourke is our guest. She's the author of the book, The Fragile Years, Proven Strategies for the Care of Aging Loved Ones. She's the former president of the Aging Life Care Association, has worked in the industry for 40 years. And so as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. What concerns do you have about maybe a friend or a relative? Do you need help deciding what to do about care? I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@WPR.org. Amy O'Rourke, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Larry.
Really enjoyed your book, as a matter of fact. You describe your profession as aging life care management. Explain what that covers.
Care managers or aging life care managers are social workers, nurses, we're certified, and we're professional advocates. We know all of the systems, the healthcare systems, the hospital systems, the financial systems, to help adult children navigate the maze that they enter when they start caring for their parents.
Yeah, and it is a maze. I can speak from experience on that. Are there professionals like this around the country?
There are. If you go to the website aginglifecare.org, care managers, there's 1,800 in the country, and you can find if there's anybody in your area on that website by putting in your zip code or your city, and the numbers of professionals will show up.
Let's talk about your book, which I really did enjoy. I'm going to hang on to it as a reference, to be perfectly honest. What motivated you to write it?
I have dealt with adult children. I own my own care management company for over 20 years, and I would hear over and over and over the adult children or the relatives would be saying, I never expected this. I didn't know this was going to happen. How does anybody figure all of this out? I have a degree in economics, and I still can't figure this out. I'm a physician. Frantic people that were in the middle of caring for a fragile older person. And then everything was so complicated that I thought I wanted to provide a book with inside intelligence for a child or a relative to pick up and open up to the chapter that they're dealing with and get immediate tips on what to do when their parent's in the hospital or their parent needs money or their parent needs to find a nursing home, et cetera. I wanted it to get in the hands of as many people that are caring for an older person as I could.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, it's for someone like me, I've lost both my parents now, but it sort of helped me, too, as somebody, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I need to kind of be cognizant of these things that you write about in the book. So it's pretty important for those of us who may not have parents or loved ones anymore, but could use the extra advice that you provide in your book for sure. And you started writing your book before COVID hit in 2020. has the pandemic changed what you do?
The pandemic changed what we do. It's provided more help and more creative ways using technology. And it's also helped us find creative ways. More older adults are choosing not to move into communities. So we're helping people find ways to stay at home or stay with a family member as opposed to moving into a community because the anxiety is so high right now. And they're waiting to make sure that it's safer to move in if that's something that they chose to do. So where we're helping people has changed. And then knowing how to navigate in the communities, in the nursing homes, in the assisted livings, in the hospitals, locally, who's doing what, providing that care coaching like at the minute or at the ready, if you will, locally to help navigate the constant change that the facilities and the home care companies are in.
You know, your book is titled The Fragile Years, and I was kind of interested. Maybe you could talk more about what are those fragile years, and I was struck by the stages of the fragile years that you talk about in the book.
You know, Larry, and I appreciate your candor on the show with yourself and your parents. And, you know, everybody kind of knows about the first generation retiree. They're 65 and they're going out and about. And the second generation, they're 75 and they're thinking about the future and, you know, some of their last decisions that they're going to be making. But the fragile years is the next stage. And it's 3 to 5 years that not everybody, but most older adults will go through. You know, if you live to your 65, you're going to live to your 85. And that's a statistical fact. Not everybody, of course, there's always exceptions to the rule. But so if you're going to make it to 85, chances are good that you're going to spend 3 to 5 years in the fragile years. And that first stage is
pulling back, I think it was what you called
it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think about my dad golfing 5 days a week and the day he decided to golf 3 days a week. It could be something really simple. You know, mom used to go to church on Wednesday nights and Sunday, and now she's only going on Sunday. You know, mom used to drive at night. Now she's not driving at night. So just a pulling back, you're right. And then I'm so glad you read the book, Larry, because it helps me know that it's so important to read and absorb and understand, even for myself. I'm going to be in that, you know, framework soon, too. And I want my nephews and my godchildren to understand what's going to be happening to me. But the second stage is reminiscing, you know, a lot of kind of life review and picking up objects in the home and explaining it to family members, or maybe driving back to some old haunts of yours, or looking up on Google Maps, and just a lot of reminiscing, kind of looking over everything. And then that's the next stage of, you know, an event happens, something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a little unexplained dent in a car. It could be, you know, maybe it's a bruise on your parents' leg that is unexplained and they don't want to tell you that they fell. Or it could be a big event like a heart attack or something. But typically it's a small event that says, you know what, I need help. I gotta do something here. There's resistance quite often. And that resistance to me is just a level of normal emotion, denial. And, you know, I've walked into clients' homes and I say I'm a care manager, and, you know, it's the beginning of the end. I've had clients say that to me. You know what, you coming in my home and having caregivers come in my house is the beginning of the end. And they don't want that to start, because you then kind of have to wake up and know that your days on earth are really limited. And it's a painful realization for many. And then I like an end of life, not months before you die, but end of life is, it could be a couple of years where you're winding down. You know, maybe you don't even feel like leaving the house anymore. Maybe I've had a lot of clients who'll sleep in a chair in the living room, and, you know, getting up and going into the bed is just too much. And all that's normal. You're not eating as much. I've had people say, you know, my mom, I can't get her to eat. And I think, well, if you're leaving the world, you're kind of losing interest in eating, and you're losing interest in things going on, because you can't be in two places at one time. You can't be leaving the world and staying in it.
Well, so it's a great, and there's one more, and I want to get to you with that. Amy O'Rourke, by the way, our guest, her book is called The Fragile Years, Proven Strategies for the Care of Aging Loved Ones. And Jennifer Dargan has stopped by again, so I want to bring her back into the conversation as well, because we're in our fall member drive, And listeners, that means that you provide the largest source of funding, and I hope you can step up to for us during this drive. It's your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. Hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Jennifer, is that matching still there or not?
It is still available. So when you call 888-202-2552 or go online, whatever donation that you make, it's going to be matched up to $4,000. It's such a great time to donate. We want to thank our current members that put this match together, including a member in Two Rivers. And it's really their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio and to do it now. So double the impact of your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you invest in WPR, you know you can count on reliability and value in return. We've been here for more than 100 years, and there's no end in sight. That's reliability I think you can count on.
Hey, you know, when you talk about reliability and value, what comes to my mind is the host of this weekday show from 11 to 12:30 every weekday. And the guests that you have on, they are just unmatched. And we had a segment where listeners were calling in and saying what they wanted to hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. And I couldn't agree with this one caller. They said, I want Larry to be interviewed. He knows so much and he's so humble, but he's got a lot of knowledge, and you do. And we really appreciate that, Larry. So if that's something that you, like me, appreciate, invest in your future listening. Choose any amount that works for you. You do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're already a sustaining member, I want to thank you so much for your ongoing support. That's vital and stable support for WPR. If you aren't a sustainer yet, you could become one right now.
Right now, and as a sustainer, you'll make ongoing automatic monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. It's really easy to set up, and once you get it done, you know, you'll feel good every time you listen. You do that at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552, and you'll know that your support is always current.
Show off your support for the programs you love with the new WPR baseball cap. This tan-colored hat is both hip and practical.
It's right there on your head in case a pop fly comes out and you need to nab it from midair.
I would use this hat to hold extra apples when we go apple picking in the fall.
If I were at a party where we wanted to do door prizes, I could take off my WPR cap and we could use it to collect the tickets.
Ask for your WPR baseball cap now when you give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this fall member drive is so important. Your gift might be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
It is. And I know some listeners are just waiting for a dollar for dollar match to come around before they give. And that is now. That's right now. So take advantage of this. Thank you to our current members, including a member in Two Rivers. Right now, your gift of $50 will actually mean $100 for us, or $100 will mean $200 for us. You get the picture. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR. When you give, you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I'd add that matching dollar, it's over at 11. So this is the time. If you've been thinking about it, now's the time to do it. You've made a habit of listening to WPR. Now make a habit of donating. It's a great habit, a habit you can be proud of, and you can get started right now. Help out with your donation, any amount, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we have a little bit more time on that, right, Larry? That's over at noon, the dollar for dollar match, and about $3,000 left in that match to raise. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it feels so good when your support of WPR can go twice as far.
And I'm going to have one of those baseball caps too, by the way, because I'm always adding money to my donations, and I'm doing it for the cap and I'm doing it for the shirt. But anyway, you can join me here. You can support the programs you value. Show off your WPR pride when you ask for that new WPR baseball cap, just like Larry's got. It'll be your new favorite accessory no matter where you go, $10 a month or more, and that's it for you. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution.
I wondered if you already had one, if you got kind of an advanced version of that.
No, I'm donating. I always talk myself into giving extra during our fun drives.
Hey, Larry, we heard from Kathy in Janesville who said, I listen to WPR every time I'm in my car, and that could be any time of the day for 10 minutes or for hours. You're the best. Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. Join her and make your donation right now. And how do they do that, Larry?
Well, they go to WPR.org or they phone 888-202-2552 and thank you. Larry Mueller here. Really pleased we could have Amy O'Rourke join us today. Her book is called The Fragile Years, Proven Strategies for the Care of Aging Loved One. It's a great book. I know you're going to find a lot of useful information in it. And maybe you have questions or maybe an experience to share as we talk about aging, caring for aging loved ones. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Amy, you were talking about this sort of the stages of the fragile years, pulling back, looking in the rearview mirror, maybe giving up on some independence, then looking for a soft place to land, and then you had one more as well, and that was peaceful passing.
Yeah, peaceful passing. Sometimes people think hospice is the end of life, and really, if you're in the fragile years and you want to be, I use the phrase less is more. You really want to be left alone. And right now it's really hard to be left alone if you're in a community or you're at home and you have an incident. The knee-jerk reaction is to just call 911 and send them into the hospital. And what prevents a peaceful passing is not supporting your loved one to just stay put, you know. And maybe you don't qualify for hospice, but maybe – you know, if you're admitted to an emergency room and they run a bunch of tests and you're not going to do any of the procedures as a result of those tests, why would you need to go to the emergency room? And I'm saying that hoping that people will react and go, oh, my God, what do you mean not go to the emergency room? Because what I'd like to say is that if you're older and you're fragile, you know, maybe surgery and maybe a procedure is going to cause more harm than not. There's an epidemic in the country, and that's probably another topic altogether, and it's over-treatment. And older adults are frequently over-treated because the hospital is the default mechanism for facilities, nursing homes, assisted livings, and being at home with caregivers. And I like to coach families on really being thoughtful about whatever procedure is done so that you can have a peaceful passing.
Yeah.
You know, that you don't die in the hospital.
And you have a sad story or two in the end. And we've talked about this in the past. I have with other folks, Amy, about the over-surgery kind of situation that can exist. And mm-hmm. it's sometimes that extra piece of surgery means that the person's never right again, and maybe they didn't need it at all. You know, Pat in Wauwatosa has something for us. Let's go there. Pat, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can, Pat.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm 92 years old, and I'm able to still take care of myself. I live in a building used to be a senior residence, and then they went intergenerational, but there are still maybe 50% seniors here. I just have heard so many people say, oh, they'll care me out for feet first from my home And I see how lonely and isolated older people become if they don't look around when they're still able to make those plans. This is a wonderful program because I've told my son, who's in his 60s, well, make it your Sunday avocation to start looking around different places so you know what you want. And I think when I picked a place some years ago, 15 years ago, I didn't look for meals. I'm lucky enough to have a daughter who loves to cook, so I have a lot of help. And I must say, too, looking at places, I don't want to get into a political debate, but I would think some of the ones sponsored by a church or religious community are more liable to be more caring than a for-profit facility. But I just wanted to share that.
Pat, thank you so much.
Pat, I'm so glad you called, and you're right. And I do think there's something to be said with a not-for-profit business model as opposed to a for-profit business model. So I'm glad that you brought that up just to get listeners to be thinking and asking that question. And I'm happy for you that you were smart enough to think ahead like you did.
And what was her approach? She wasn't interested in the food so much as it sounds like she may have been more interested into sort of the facility itself and the opportunity to be doing things well at that facility.
Yeah, and I think isolation is a major contributor to getting early memory impairment. So it's a very practical thing to do to stay engaged and not to be isolated. And wherever you choose to live, people do choose to live alone, stay engaged, because if you want your memory to stay intact, that's a great way to do it.
Has COVID affected, you know, we were talking about institutions there, Pat's in one. Has COVID affected the institutions that care for these fragile members of our community?
It's been tragically sad. There is a great level of depression, both in the staff and the residents. The isolation has been grueling. It's been fatiguing. The stress, unrelenting. So yes, you know, there was 1 million nursing home residents before COVID and 850,000 after COVID, and the facility staff are warriors. And yes, it's been very, very difficult. And then the parents that are working in the communities have been very affected as well. So yes.
It's been a problem. You can join in, too, by the way. Questions or comments, love to hear from you. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear your experience, or if you have a question about this, there's broad range of things we're talking about here with Amy O'Rourke. I hope you'll join in as well. Again, the number is 800-642-1234. Email us to ideas@wpr.org. You know, people are going to find themselves in a situation where they need help, and maybe suddenly, either for themselves or for a loved one. But what's the first thing you need to do?
Well, if you're not in a crisis, you're going to learn what's in your community. You're going to learn what resources are available. Are there adult programs? Are there what communities are nearby? What senior programs are delivered? What do your hospitals have any palliative care programs? You're going to learn the landscape, and that is in the book. So you're going to understand what's there. And then educate yourself to the systems that you're going to have to be interacting with. How does the hospital work? You know, I'd buy a consultation with a care manager, to be honest with you. It's probably the best dollar value to learn. Say, what do I need to do if my parents, you know, run into trouble? Or what do I need to do if I run into trouble? And then all the financial systems. How does long-term care insurance work? What are the financial mechanisms to pay for care? What is VA? Is there a VA benefit? And yes, there is. How does Medicaid work in my state? Does Medicaid help pay for assisted living? So the education with the financial systems and the healthcare systems would be good prep work to do. And then if you have the funds to hire a care manager for a consultation, that's a bonus.
Let's take another call. Margie in Milwaukee, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Whoop, I guess we lost Margie. Let's take a call from Becky then in Houstonsford. Hi, Becky. Oh, I think we lost her. Oh my goodness me! Well, we're having a little phone line problem here today, Amy, but we'll resolve that as we move along during the show, and we'll get that all fixed. What do you think needs to change about the way we handle the final stages of our lives? I think you're talking about this a bit, but maybe expand on that a little.
I think for anybody that's a healthcare decision maker, for anyone, needs to know that, one, what are the values? What's really important to the person you're caring for? You know, for my dad, it was, you know, being able to eat. All right. So if they want to be able to eat, then, you know, and they're going to eat and somebody says, you know what, your dad's going to aspirate. He needs to eat pureed food. Well, we made the decision, for example, to let him eat what he wanted to eat because that's what he wanted. And he wasn't going to eat pureed food. So I think the preparation is that if you're a healthcare decision maker, you've got to be very, very brave and very, very proactive if you're going to help your person interact with the systems for the betterment of your loved one. Say, for instance, you're in a skilled nursing facility and they're wanting to give you Ensure and they don't want to drink it. And you make it okay that, you know, when you're dying or leaving the world, you do lose weight. I mean, that's kind of a normal. So I think that the advice that I would give people is, if you're not brave and you're a decision maker, then hire somebody that can help you be brave. And communicate well and clearly with facilities.
I think that's I think that's great advice, and we'll continue on with those points as well with Amy O'Rourke. Her book is called The Fragile Years, and I just noticed Jennifer Dargan walking back in here, so I want to bring her back into the discussion because we are in our fall member drive. And as a listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in the Larry Mueller Show, and that's thanks to your support, as a matter of fact. Listeners provide the largest share of our funding, and when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this program and all the programs that you hear possible. So give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And how are we doing on our challenge grant?
Well, thanks for asking, Larry. I was just looking at the clock and noticing that this hour is winding down. Such an interesting topic. And I'm also watching because we only have about 20 more minutes of this challenge grant, and I would love to get every dollar of that matched. It's still going on. It's such a great time for you to donate because some current members, including a member in Two Rivers, are going to double every donation you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support us here at Wisconsin Public Radio, so please double the impact of your gift with your donation right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So glad we've had the chance, and I will continue to have for this program, of having Amy O'Rourke with us to talk about her book, The Fragile Years. I've learned so much in the book, and I know listeners have learned quite a bit already just listening to the tips that she's had. I think programs like this help enrich your life. How? And I think we're kind of unique to, this is something that's unique to public radio. And I think it's also unique to public radio that we're listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution, you make this hour and all the hours possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
This is such a great example of when you get more than you pay for. WPR is one place where that is true every single day. Consider maybe a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs that you love.
Hard to buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. That works out to about $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, I figured it was important for me to become a sustaining member because I needed to give back. I really enjoy the programs here. I get to hear it every day, and I figure there's buy-in. When I'm a sustainer, I enjoy driving to work, leaving work, being at home, even going to bed listening to WPR. Most media that you hear now, most programs don't have that objectivity that WPR offers. I enjoy all the shows, and I figure you gotta let your money talk. I'm Eben from Appleton, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. Your support during our fall member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift could be $10, could be $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
It is, and you support the things that make your life more meaningful, right? And the Ideas Network, Wisconsin Public Radio, that's one of those things. So here you get information about everything that's going on in Wisconsin, in the world, and you also get, you know, humor and storytelling and fun on the weekends.
You want a lot of news and information in the coming year. And your support now makes that possible. So make a difference at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We would appreciate it very much. And we still have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect, don't we?
There's still room for you to get in on it. We've got about, I don't know, 15 more minutes for you to get in. Don't delay. Do it now. If you've been hearing this member drive for a couple of days and have been thinking about giving, now is the time. WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support's going to go twice as far.
I'm not going to get this. I got the cap, and I'm getting the shirt, but yeah. There's another bonus that I'm not going to get, but you can get, if you support our programs that you love, your donation enters you in a drawing for a $250 grocery gift card. And you have five chances to win, no contribution necessary. You can see WPR.org/drawing for details. But better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And of course, sustainers, those making ongoing monthly gifts, are automatically entered.
You are, and if you're not a sustainer, you can just become one right now. It's super easy to set up. You get monthly donations that come from your bank account or your credit card. You do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's such a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs that you love.
Your gift is very powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Nice to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Pleased to have Amy O'Rourke with us. Her book is called The Fragile Years, Proven Strategies for the Care of Aging Loved Ones. And Amy, we have lots of callers online, and we have a couple of callers we lost earlier, so let's get them back. Margie in Milwaukee, thank you for calling back. What's on your mind?
Hi there. Thanks so much. And Larry, I've been a longtime sustained member, and I feel like I've earned an extra college degree listening to you over the years. So
thank you
for all of that. Amy, I think you could almost be a dietitian from some of the information you're talking about with nutrition with seniors. I am a retired dietitian, and I was board certified to work with seniors for a number of years. And I'm struggling with what to share with you, whether it's from my professional side or my personal side, because I have a 96-year-old mother. But when you were talking about being cautious about going to the hospital and getting extra surgery and things later in life, you have to remember what the goal is and things. And I found that with many families that had seniors that weren't eating and they wanted a feeding tube.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be really careful. What's the point of a feeding tube? Feeding tubes were designed to provide nutrients for people that couldn't eat while they were healing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a stopgap measure. And if someone's at the end of life and they're not eating, we're not trying to cure them with food.
Yeah, those are good points, Amy.
It is. And I would add to that, and I'm glad you called, Margie, is, you know, they do swallow studies. And sometimes if you fail your swallow study, you're going to get a feeding tube. So I would want to ask that question before they even did the swallow study. If I fail the swallow study, am I going to get a feeding tube? And if the answer is yes, say, I don't even want the study. So you're right. And I would go one step further in that process. And good luck with your mother.
Thank you very much, Margie. I want to give Becky a chance to join in, too, from Eustisford. Becky, thank you for calling back.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Larry and Amy. I'll make this quick because we're getting towards the end. I had three family members pass away in close proximity. First, my youngest sister, who had a chronic disease, Crohn's disease, where she died of complications of the illness, which precipitated a lot of in-depth talk among my family members. My father had recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's, had a number of other health issues, and within a couple of years of my sister's death, he wound up going into hospice care. He wanted to be at home, and we kept him at home as much as possible, except for a couple of instances where he went in and we promised him that we would bring him home. My mother was his primary caregiver, however, and she started having failing health complications of post-polio syndrome and ultimately congestive heart failure. So even though she was his primary caregiver, she wound up passing before him. She went into a nursing home first because she was getting therapy. She wanted to go in. Well, her health started failing quickly. And because of the conversations that we'd had, we knew she did not want to have feeding tubes, to have extreme measures. We promised her she would come home, and she in fact did. She passed away just before Christmas of 2018 at home. My father had a chance to say goodbye to her, and he passed within 2 weeks. He did not want to go into a hospital, and after she passed, he decided he didn't want to eat anymore.
Yeah. Well, Becky, thank you so much for calling and sharing that story. And Amy, I'm sure you've heard a story similar to that.
I have. And there's a couple of things I heard in that I absolutely loved was really being clear on what the wishes are of the person.
Yeah.
And having the brave courage to implement what they wanted. And then I'll throw this tip out for the listeners is, health systems, hospitals are always in a hurry. And when they give you a decision, they have to have it right away. Go slow. Take your time. Buy time. Because none of my best decisions have ever been made in a hurry. So when the hospital's in a hurry, you do not have to be in a hurry. Take your time to make the thoughtful decision that Becky made with her parents.
Yeah, very good advice. Let's go to Barbara in Grand Marsh. Barbara, hi, thank you for calling.
Well, number one, I used to be an activities director in a nursing home. Actually, there was an expose about it, and it was a bad nursing home. Mm. And the dietitians, the people in the kitchen were stealing the food, and when the trays came out, the people were coming out of their rooms and they were trying to gobble up as much money as they can. I went on with the newspaper about the whole thing. How do you find a nursing home that people can afford that are good? The only reason those people were there is because they couldn't afford a different one.
Yeah.
I think it's an issue that people are becoming more and more aware. I think COVID pushed it to the forefront, and that's when we can go back to knowing locally your own communities, talking to your friends, looking online to see what the surveys are. And, you know, that knowing locally what's available would be the best advice I would give you. And it is very, very expensive. And think ahead so that you can plan for it financially.
Yeah, it's one of I was looking at I think you had some estimates in there or some actual costs from Florida, if I'm not mistaken, in your book. But I mean, it's the monthly cost can be.
Yeah, nursing homes. Yeah, $10,000, $15,000 a month. And, you know, public benefits are available if you're in a skilled nursing facility. Every state has different eligibility requirements. But know ahead, if you run out of money and you need nursing home care, Medicaid will pick up the tab. But I wouldn't want you to be at zero and trying to figure that out and find a facility that will take your loved one on Medicaid. I would really, really plan ahead to maximize any benefits that might be available to you.
Yeah, and speaking of Medicaid and Medicare, you have a nice, interesting piece in there about what it does provide and what it doesn't provide.
If I did anything on this show, please buy the book so that you can learn ahead of time to make the time with your loved one less stressful. Think of Medicare as the benefit that pays to keep you well. And Medicaid is what pays ongoing care when you run out of money. So Medicare is going to pay your doctor bill. Medicare is going to pay a bulk of a hospital bill. Medicare is going to pay for physical therapy. Medicare does not pay for ongoing maintenance care or custodial care in a skilled nursing facility, otherwise known as a nursing home. And people get those confused. People will say Medicare is going to pay for 100 days. Medicare does not pay for 100 days. They pay for up to 100 days as long as you're receiving a skilled nursing service from a licensed professional, an RN, a physical therapist, et cetera.
Amy O'Rourke, our guest today, her book is The Fragile Years. She's going to continue with us right through and after our news break that's coming up quite soon. But also coming up is Jennifer Dargan, who's just joining us once again, because we're getting right to the top of the hour during our fall member drive. Really, you and your fellow listeners are the largest source of funding for our shows. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. So I hope you'll take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. How are we doing, Jennifer?
Well, we have some celebrating to do because we had a dollar for dollar match and we met and surpassed it. It was really such a great hour. People must really be, you know, resonating with this topic. And of course, all of the topics and all of the guests that you have every weekday on the Larry Mueller Show. So thank you to our current members who provided this match. And thank you to those who donated. If you haven't donated, though, there is still room for you to get in and make your donation during this drive. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like what some of the callers have had to say who have said, boy, Amy, you're right spot on with the advice that you're giving here. Amy O'Rourke, her book, The Fragile Years, and she'll be still with us to talk some more about it. But I think this is the kind of program that I love to do because it does help a lot of people. That's what we're kind of here for during this 11 to 12:30 time period, provide advice that can help enrich people's lives and make them better. We're listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, you make this hour, like the one with Amy, and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and then make your gift.
And when you do, you can ask for that WPR baseball cap, and you can match Larry, because he's going to have one too. It's a tan hat, and it's got our bright WPR logo on the front. And when you walk around the state, you can show off your pride in the programs that you listen to and that you love. And it all starts with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I started listening when I was a grad student here in 1976. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. One reason I love listening is that I'm interested in a lot of different things, and WPR always has a lot of different things. I can hear everything from politics to gardening to travel information. I love just hearing that variety of things.
Give now so you can hear more of the programs you love. Go to WPR.org and click donate. Thank you.
That's WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you caught on. Larry Mueller with Jennifer Dargan. Your support keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong, and your gift could be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on every gift.
And however you choose to give, thank you so much. Your support is really powerful. And today there's still something more you can do to help. You could encourage a friend to join the Wisconsin Public Radio community.
I love that idea. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking, you know, we all get our WPR caps. We ought to have a cap party. And everybody shows up with a
WPR
baseball cap. I was thinking about that, and I thought that would be a good thing to do. And maybe we can make that happen at some point. But I tell you what, I want to thank you if you've contributed already. If you haven't, you know, your support's so powerful. Today there's a lot you can do to help. And how you do that is you go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. We have to go away now, but we'll be back with Amy O'Rourke after this look at the news. Please stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller with Jennifer Dargan for the Ideas Network. So great you could join us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking with our guest today, Amy O'Rourke, about her book. It's called The Fragile Years, Proven Strategies for the Care of Aging Loved Ones. I want to say a thanks before I forget it for our engineers today, Trina LaSousa and Tyler Ditter, Jill Dodo, our producer, Jane Rotunda, on-air producing as well. It's a great team of people here, and we've got a great guest. And I hope you'll join in with your questions as we move along at 800-642-1234. Or you can email us to ideas@WPR.org. Deb in Plymouth emailed that her stepfather was prescribed Seroquel, I think it is. And he's in assisted living with dementia. And Deb is wondering, is this common prescription?
Is it a common prescription? Yes, it's a common prescription. And there are people that are alarmed by Seroquel, and then there are people that are not alarmed by Seroquel. There is a very challenging scenario when someone has dementia, not dementia alone, but troubled behaviors. There is an over-prescribing problem with Seroquel, but there's also... if there's behaviors that need to have medication to manage them, and that's not always the case, but sometimes Seroquel is prescribed to take the edge off, if you will, or help manage the behaviors, not to zonk them out. We don't want it to be like the movie Awakenings where everybody is drugged and asleep. But if there's aggression, if there's combativeness, if there's, you know, I've had clients hit the caregivers and the facility throws them out. Well, nobody wants that either. But it's a very common problem, and there's not easy solutions to it. So my advice would be to talk to the facility staff, see if the caregiver approaches are causing any issues with him, and stay on top of when the Seroquel is being given, how much is being given, and any time it's going to be added to it. Just be very involved so that he isn't over-drugged, and then you get to falling a lot and there's problems that come with being over-prescribed things. But it's not in and of itself a bad thing, but it needs to be managed closely by the advocate.
I'm glad Deb wrote that in because it reminded me that we should talk about, and you write about memory impairment, dementia, and that sort of thing. You tell kind of a story that... is amusing in a way. I mean, there was somebody you were working with who she fired you on the spot. She was tell that story. I you could tell it better than I can tell it.
Oh my God! Yeah, I walked in the door and she had memory impairment, and she just fired me. Get out of here! I don't want to see you. I didn't let you in. Who let you in? And so I went outside. I waited for a few minutes. I went around to the back of the house and I came in the back door because I knew that her memory was very short. And she looked at me and she said, oh, God, thank God you're here. I hated that other lady. And I said, yes, she was kind of a you know what. So, you know, we just took time and tried again. Sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. So, but memory impairments in and of itself aren't difficult. They're stressful because you have to get used to answering the same thing over and over and over, and that gets exhausting. So, but yeah, that really did happen. It was very kind of a funny. The tone still tells the story.
I've told this story on before, but you haven't heard it, so I'll retell it. My mother, who had dementia, I would take her to the local zoo on the weekends, and I could take her every weekend. And it was always like, oh, this is a brand new experience for me. She loved going to the zoo, but it was always something she'd never done before. And she got so much enjoyment out of it, I just kept doing it.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. Good for you. It builds up that emotional memory and that connection. Who cares if she saw it last week? It's still giving her a lot of joy and a lot of emotional calmness.
Well, thanks to my sister, my mother was able to spend her last years at home because my sister was able to retire, chose to retire and come home and care for her. And so she was really the primary caregiver. Mm-hmm. The rest of us helped. But she was allowed my mother to be home and essentially die at home. And we had a lot of we had some help from some of the hospice folks who are, I think, all saints, pretty much, at least the ones that I've ever dealt with. But maybe could you talk a bit more about keeping that loved one maybe at their home and what needs to be thought through?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And that's really what most older adults want. It's great when it works out. The first thing I think about is make sure that you understand what things cost, who's going to provide the care, and where that money is going to come from. Is it from an insurance policy that you have that you can sell? Is it from a reverse mortgage on your house? Is it from an equity line on the house? Is it from the investments that the older adult has? Are you going to pay one of the daughters to take care of mom? How is it going to be paid for? And then understand how the home care industry works if you're not going to do it yourself. You can hire caregivers privately. You can hire caregivers through an agency. And you'll find people say, I would never hire someone privately. But I've seen where it works. You do have to have protective measures in place. You want to make sure that they don't have a criminal record. You want to make sure that your insurance covers it. And you want to make sure that you have a lot of supervision. And I give very practical advice, like taking all the valuables out of the house. Don't leave checkbooks around. Don't leave credit cards out. Get everything delivered. Not that you think every caregiver is going to be, you know, dishonest, but you never know. And so why worry about it? And so I would then understand how caregiving works. You can buy caregiving by the day if they need 24-hour care. It's called live-in care. So I would want all the listeners to understand live-in care, when you pay by the day, is much less expensive than buying it 24 hours a day. It's a difference in probably 50%. Getting caregivers privately is less expensive than getting through an agency. If you get it through an agency, you're protected. You've got workers' comp. You've got insurance. And you have somebody managing the schedule, which is really important. Understand, with COVID, there is a caregiver shortage nationwide. So going into providing care at home, make sure that you understand that there is a caregiving shortage, and that's going to make finding a caregiver a little bit more challenging. You start off with 4 hours a day, then you might graduate to 8 hours a day. Once you get to 10 to 12 hours a day, you're going to want to shift over to a less expensive model, which would be the live-in model. Or maybe I've had families where the children sleep there at night and there's caregivers there during the day.
So lots of different ways to do it. And maybe, What about us? Can we talk some more as well about assisted living facilities and what we need to know again about before we select one? That's coming up with some questions from listeners.
Yep. Assisted living. What I would want you to know what the needs are of the person that's going to be moving in there. And make sure that if they have high medical needs, make sure that the community you're moving them into has an RN available. Many assisted living communities function under a social model. They'll feed you, they'll take you places, they'll, you know, do maintenance and housekeeping, but they don't provide nursing support, meaning RN or a licensed vocational nurse. So make sure that where you're going to be moving into can adequately meet the needs of the person that's moving in. Memory care there's memory care in assisted living communities. Memory care is usually needed when the person with a memory impairment needs to be in a place where they don't feel judged for not having a memory. Where having a bad memory is supported. The activities are geared towards them. The staff members are trained. You're going to look around and ask in a memory impairment and assisted living, what are the training that the staff have had? What ongoing training have they had? What kind of accommodations do they make for activities and for the food, et cetera, to make sure that it's not a memory unit that's in name only, meaning anybody with a memory, we just, you know, put them in and lock the door. Look at what they're doing with them on a daily basis.
Very good points. You know, earlier, not in relation to this question, but to another one, you mentioned when we were talking about Medicaid, and you mentioned veterans benefits, and somebody's wondering, well, who qualifies for veterans benefits?
Veterans benefits, the eligibility criteria, and please look me up, O'Rourke and Associates, we're a company that helps people find out about the VA benefit and help apply for the VA benefit. The military eligibility is 90 days active duty, one day during a wartime. You have to need help with bathing, dressing, toileting, or eating, and you have to be paying for that help. And the asset limit is just a little bit over $129,000, excluding your home. I hope that's helpful information for you.
Wow. You have some great information about the about Alzheimer's too, and you talked about the Alzheimer's Association Safe Return Program.
Yeah, you know, you want to take advantage of this. If your person is prone to wandering out of the house, and you think that they're going to wander out of the house, get onto the Alzheimer's Association Safe Return. It's a bracelet that, if they are found, that they have information in that bracelet that can help them get returned safely home. There are also local communities. We have one county in my area that will call people with a memory impairment every day to make sure that they're safe. We have also a brain fitness club where that people with Alzheimer's and related disorders get exercise and lots of stimulation with speech therapy program from the university. And now there's all the GPS that you can put on someone's shoe. Just my point is that if a person is prone to wandering off and you can't be 100% that they're not going to, get them registered for safe return or get some way to put a GPS on them. So if they do wander out, you can get them back.
That's probably a pretty good idea. Yeah, with anymore today, with all of the devices that are out there, not all that difficult to do, but it's something that maybe we forget to do. We ought to be doing. You have some great takeaways at the end of your chapter on end of life care. Maybe share some of those with us.
Well, end of life care, you know, there is hospice, and that's the obvious call. You want to make sure that you call hospice before you think you need it, because you don't know if there's a diagnosis. And hospice is a benefit that you can get medications, you can get an in-home physician, you can get an in-home nurse, social worker to help you get care, whether you're at home or in a community or in a nursing home. You can get hospice no matter where you are, including the hospital, by the way. So that is one big thing that I would want to make sure. Also, at the end of life, there are in a lot of states a way to communicate with the emergency medical technicians, the 911 people. If somebody happens to call 911 and they come in the house,
in Florida, and I know in a lot of states, if there is a specific do not resuscitate order in the home, if they do happen to stop breathing or their heart stops beating, they're allowed to not resuscitate them so that they don't end up, you know, being transported to the hospital and dying in the hospital. They're allowed to die at home. So then the other is the caregiving staff, make sure that you're looking at any kind of in-home care that is available. You can do a lot in-home that you did not used to be able to, especially with COVID. You can do telehealth. You can get in-home physicians. You can get x-rays at home. You can get infusions at home. There's a lot of things that you can do at home that used to be you'd have to go to a community or a hospital to get it. Another end-of-life strategy I would employ is maybe you leave the hospital and don't go to a rehab. Maybe you go straight home because being in a rehab environment is one more environment to get to know that's too exhausting for the older person leaving the hospital.
You have lots of great information in your book, Amy, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Hopefully we'll have a chance to do this again. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good to be on the call, Larry. Thank you.
Amy O'Rourke, her book is The Fragile Years. What a lot of great information in that book and a great conversation with her today on the show. Jennifer Dargan joins me again because we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes in a program like this one. And it's time to support your future WPR listening.
Right. Listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs that you count on, programs just like this one. And that's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Jennifer, last hour we heard from 43 donors, and I want to thank all 43 of you for contributing. It was a wonderful wonderful challenge that we were well able to meet. And as we know, we go from hour to hour, the goals change, and we've got a new goal for this hour, and it's 20 calls by 20 gifts by 1 o'clock. These goals, they're set to make sure that we have the money to pay for the programs that you rely on, really.
So let's do this. Let's make this goal. It just happens one gift at a time, and let's start with yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I think about some of the regular guests that we have on the show, John Freiberger, Chad Spade, help us with our home, Scott Craven, who's happy to speculate on your wildlife sightings, the weather guys, Steve Ackerman and John Martin, our bird guy, Bill Volkert, great guests, all of them.
They're so good, so knowledgeable, and so kind to callers, you know, calling in the callers might just be beginners at the topic, or they might know a lot, and these guests can still add to it. They give advice, they have ideas, and because you've come to trust and appreciate these guests, support this program with your dollars. It's easy to give. It just takes a couple minutes. Go to WPR.org. or call 888-202-2552.
And you can join Larry Mueller and Team WPR and support the new WPR baseball cap. It's got that logo in the front. You'll show off your public media pride wherever you go. Wear it on a hike, to a ball game, to Larry's plan to have a baseball cap party. I really like that idea. I think it'd be so much fun to have everybody wearing that cap and getting together for whatever. It'll be fun no matter how you use it or whether you decide you want to go with me or the heck with Larry. You can ask for yours with your gift right now, $10 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm just going to wear mine every time I listen to your show. That'll be my way of being on Team Larry. You know, if you think about it, you might spend more money than you realize just during your everyday activities. You know, you stop for coffee and or lunch, and it really adds up to a lot of money over the course of a month.
And you also listen to WPR every day. It's just as important as those other daily things you enjoy. So spend some money on it.
Yep, give now. You can do it at WPR.org or you can give us a call, 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your station, the one that wakes you up in the morning. It rides with you on your commute, keeps your company during the day.
And the beauty of it is that you get to decide how much you want to pay for these programs that you enjoy. If you want, you know, a suggested amount, many first-time donors give $100 or maybe $10 a month, but you pick the amount that's right for you.
And your gift, along with the donations from other listeners, they add up to WPR's largest source of funding. So join the team right now. Make your gift at WPR.org or phone. Make it there, 888-202-2552.
We tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio for shows we all know and love. But WPR is more than radio.
I am Andrea Anderson. I'm an online news producer. We work closely with reporters across the state to create something that they're proud of that's online, that people can go to WPR.org and read, and it's really an expansion of what people hear on the radio. We have a lot of different diverse content that comes onto WPR.org on a daily basis.
Wisconsin Public Radio, it's more than radio. And when you give, you're a big part of what makes it all happen.
Just give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargren. Listener support, the biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on, and that's why your support during our drive is so important. Could be $10 a month, that gift. Could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
So think about what amount you want to give and then make that donation. And hey, we know you value your time and we really value it too. So we've made it so that giving just takes a few minutes. It's so easy. Just tell us your name, your contact information, decide how much you want to give and tell us how you'd like to pay.
Really quick and easy to do. And your gift right now really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I think we have 4 people given out of this 20. We still need 16 more.
Okay, we're on our way. And everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, maybe that's a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Yeah, maybe that's what you pay for cable or maybe the family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day, so put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, and then go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You can figure out like how much value you get in a day of listening and divide out your monthly contribution by that. So, for example, a $10 a month contribution is about 33 cents a day. That's a really great value, just for, even for this last hour and a half alone.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing value.
Make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and you're going to get a lot in return, I can promise you.
Yes. And if you've already renewed or if you're a sustainer making your ongoing monthly gifts, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We can't say it enough. Thank you so much. You really are the backbone of WPR.
And what do we have about, I think about 50,000 people who contribute at one point or another. If you haven't done that yet, join that group of 50,000 with your gift. Join other WPR members by donating. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. You know, Jennifer and I have to go away pretty quick here, but I'm sure will join me in thanking you very much for listening in the first place to Wisconsin Public Radio, and secondly, for your contributions. They are much appreciated. Again, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And please stay with us. Lots more in store right through the afternoon on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller with Jennifer Dargan.